Okay, good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us, both live stream, people listening later. You know, last Sunday, we gave a share here, but ended a little bit early. We covered the Levaya of Rabbi David Feinstein. That's how one of the Gedolei Hadar, Poskei Hadar. And this week, we're going to try, it's quite a task to, every so often within this year, instead of giving a regular halachic topic, we focus on an individual. And one of the Gedolei Poskim from past generations. And we figured, speaking about Reb David, that's how, 1 week, after the Levaya would be an appropriate thing to do. But at the same time, it's a very hard thing to do. At the Levaya, Shmuel Kamenetsky said that Reb David Feinstein, he was a person that was intimately involved in klal issues together with Reb David. And Shmuel Kamenetsky himself said that he was a very hard person to understand. You compound that on the fact that Reb David didn't really write much Svarim. A big contrast to his father, Reb Moshe Zatzal wrote and published in his lifetime. Reb David wrote a little bit, maybe a lot. Well, as Hashem, hopefully we'll all find out. But he did not publish a lot. He published a few Svarim for Art Scroll, and a little bit here and there. So that's also an additional challenge in getting to understand the person, especially to understand someone from the perspective of halacha, to see his halachic accomplishments, to see his his psakim. Most of his psakim were yes or no, mutter or aser. They weren't lengthy tshuvas for the most part. And another element which, despite the fact that Reb David lived all of his life, as we'll talk about in a moment, in the Lower East Side, which is a very unique, some might even say colorful neighborhood. At the same time, Reb David's life story, there's not much to talk about in terms of biography, in terms of a storyline. He was born in 1929 in Luban, Russia. His father then was the Rav. That point, there was a lot of attack on Yiddishkeit, especially against the Rav. And Moshe and his family were attacked, abused. And Moshe decided the best thing for his children's chinuch, despite the fact he felt an achrayus to the tzibur, but he felt the best thing for his children's chinuch would be to move to America. And shortly after they arrived in America, they settled in the Lower East Side. Moshe became the Rosh Hashiva of Nesifta Tiferes Yerushalayim. A young Reb David Feinstein, who was about 8 years old, started going to cheder there, Nesifta, married in Kolel, became a Rebbe in the Yeshiva, Rosh Kolel, and after his father's patir in 1986, became the Rosh Yeshiva. But Reb David Feinstein's life, for the most part, since he was 8 years old till he was 91 years old, was living in the Lower East Side, learning in the same exact yeshiva, which anyone who had the schus of being there will tell you it looks exactly the same, probably almost to the extent of when Reb David arrived there. And just for decades upon decades, mamish, over 70 years, over 75 years, Reb David just sat and learned in the base medrash in the Lower East Side called Nesifta Tiferes Yerushalayim. So thus, it does make it a very daunting task to try to, given the halakhic appreciation of Reb David. And myself, I'm not a Talmud, but I did have a shaykhus in a few different ways. My father, Zunzain, worked most of his Monday through Friday, worked in the Lower East, in Lower Manhattan, in One Police Plaza, with a different job. But on Sundays, my father had a hobby slash job. I didn't realize, I spoke to my father last night, but for, I would say, decades, my father worked in a Sfarim store in the Lower East Side called Utzer HaSfarim. That Sfarim store, and the owners, the Goldman family, were very close to the Feinsteins, very close to Reb Moshe Zatzal, extremely close to Reb David, and the whole Mishpacha. And through that, my father, really my whole family, got involved and connected one way or the other with the Feinsteins. When I got married, my wife's grandfather, Shmuel Neiman Zatzal, was extremely close, was part of a chabura that did shimush by Reb Moshe Feinstein. He was very close to Reb David. In fact, one of the pictures going around is a picture of people sitting together with Reb David on Erev Yom Kippur, right across from Reb David. It's my wife's grandfather, Shmuel Neiman. He's the one in the hat. And also, through the years, I have lots of friends, lots of people I know from the Lower East Side. A childhood family friend in the past 20 years plus became part, learned at MTJ, and became part of Reb David's inner circle. The degree he was one of his nemanim, he drove him so many places. All that, he also had a nice, interesting job during the day. So I took all of these connections and tried very much to piece together today a picture of who Reb David was. You know, Sfarim wise, I tracked down a little bit. Got from my wife's grandfather, Rabbi Neiman, that Reb Yitzchak Frankel was a Rav in New York, actually a brother-in-law of Reb Zion Chait, published a kuntris of Shilos that he asked Reb David. I have a sefer that the Yeshiva MTJ produced, the Torah of Ahura, in honor of the 50th anniversary of the Kollel, has a piece in here from Reb David. There's a three-volume set of Svarim based on the notes of the Gaboyim of Reb Moshe called Mesoros Moshe, which if you go through, you could find a lot of stuff from Reb David. A lot of his interacting with Reb Moshe, and most of it are involving Pesachim from Reb Moshe. But there are many Pesachim, there are many storylines that come from Reb David himself. So together, I hope to piece together a sheer halachic appreciation of who Reb David was. I decided to pick three categories in halacha, three areas, which I believe are unique to Reb David. One is just being the fact he wasn't just a posek, he wasn't just another gadol. He was somebody, as described from Lo Yelshev, as the posek ador in America. He was someone that Reb Moshe himself looked to and trusted as a gadol, tremendous, tremendous posek. So his havana in halacha is second to none. So one area I would like to talk about is his clarity in halacha. The second area is not just his ability to issue psakim, but also his ability to give etzos, advice, to people who are asking his psak. And the third area, which was mentioned in Levaya, which there's a lot of extensive stories, is tremendous. The word Baal Chesed doesn't do justice. But the area of Halacha and Chesed that Reb David involved in. So I'll go through each of these areas one by one. I have some Rokomos on the sheets. First area, very interesting thing, understanding Tehillim. Rabbi Frankel asked some shailas to Rabbi David in understanding how Tehillim works. Why? And Rabbi David told him, now firstly, Rabbi David was very, very connected to Tehillim. How do I know? Well, my father, being the fact he worked in Goldman store in the Lower East Side, there's a secret that was known to people in Goldman store and a few others. That store, quick walk from MTJ, was a Rabbi David Feinstein's hideout. Rabbi David Feinstein, my father was able to trace it back. My father started working there in 1982 before Rav Moshe's Patira. He says, he remembers from the beginning, Rav David would sneak in there. And Hu Adin, after Rav Moshe's Patira, Rav David would come to this store to hide out. When he needed a little break from Ben Astarim, there in the yeshiva, he would come to this Sfarim store. Occasionally he would look at the Sfarim, the new Sfarim there, go through them, but it seems the prime thing, my father remembers it quite well, where he stood. He showed me exactly where in the store. I still remember as a kid going there. He stood in the back of the store in a corner, which you would not be able to find him if you didn't know he was there, saying to Hillel. Rav David would come to the store, and I'm not talking about 5 minutes of Tehillim. A significant amount of time, Rav David would sit in a corner in the back of the store. That was his hideout. That was his Aliyah's Kir. And there he went, and he said Tehillim. Rav David was someone who connected so much to Tehillim. At the same time, when asked by a Talmud, what's pshat in Tehillim? Rav David explained that the way Tehillim works is a special schus of Limud HaTorah. Tehillim is not a tefillah, which is the commonly understood concept. He says it's not a tefillah, then maybe the Mishaberach or Yiratzim that you say before or after Tehillim, that could be a tefillah. But Tehillim itself is Limud HaTorah. And he says we do find there's a special schus of Tehillim that even if a person doesn't understand the words, it's not like other Limud HaTorah where the Ikar is the Havana. Here the Limud HaTorah works, even if you don't understand it. He would say even to a woman who is not Mitzuva in Talmud Torah, she still should have to say Tehillim because there's a special schus to it. But that being said, the Etzem Amir's Tehillim, the schus, is a schus in Limud HaTorah. This is just one of hundreds of psalkim he happened to give to Yitzchak Frankel. But when I saw a story, then I put it all together, it blew my mind. If you know MTJ, in fact, even saw it on Sunday by the Levaya, you could clearly see where the World Trade Center once stood, where the new Freedom Tower is now standing in Lower Manhattan. You could see that right outside the yeshiva. And David Feinstein, on the morning of September 11th, 2001, David Feinstein walked out of the yeshiva on his way to his famous breakfast with the Talmud asking him a question. And they looked up and they saw the moment he left was after at least one of the towers was hit, fire, smoke was coming out of the building. They looked up and they were both taken by the spectacle. The Talmud ran back into the Beis Medrash to galvanize everyone to say Tehillim. Rav David didn't go in right away. It's not clear what he did those initial first few moments. After that, a few minutes later, Rav David came back into the building. Seems he first went to his office, then walked into the Beis Medrash. The whole yeshiva was sitting there fervently saying Tehillim, just blocks down. The World Trade Center is burning. They didn't know what would happen next. Rav David goes to the front of the Beis Medrash, calmly sits down and opens his Gemara. Talmidim were shocked. Everyone's sitting there saying Tehillim. Rav David just calmly sat down and started focusing on learning. And once he did that, the Talmidim, like other Shiva's learning, they stopped saying Tehillim and they started learning. Afterwards, a while later, Talmidim asked Rav David what was shocked. He said, look, there's a schus of Tehillim, but the schus of Tehillim is the same thing. There's a greater schus of Limud HaTorah. And providing that someone is able to focus, there's a greater schus of Limud HaTorah is making. What about Tehillim? You know, Rav David did say, if someone's not able to focus, especially at a time like that, then Tehillim is probably the best thing to do. In other words, one's able to be a Baal Havana and focus in learning, Tehillim is a greater schus. It fits so beautifully with that psak from years ago. So even though Rav David was a person who appreciated Tehillim so much, he appreciated even more what Limud HaTorah is. I heard a shaila from Rabbi Reisman, spoke about in the hesped he gave, that the Rabbanim in New York were dealing with, you know, one of these new smart appliances, some new fancy features in refrigerators, where basically every time you open it, forget about the lights going on, but there is certain data which is being stored every time a person does something with the refrigerator. And the question was permissibility of using this in Shabbos. And all the Rabbanim in New York were struggling. No one knew what to do. So all the big shalos they always sent to Rav David. So they sent this one to Rav David. Rabbi Reisman remembers he sat there, thought about it for a few moments, without skipping a beat, tells over a maisa how he was with his father and Rav Hinken when they had a technician come in and show them some of the old refrigerators. It worked totally differently to understand the mechanics. And there they also had a shaila of where you had a situation where there was something happening on Shabbos, but nothing could be seen. And both Rav Moshe and Rav Hinken said that something like that is not asur. So Hu Adin, Rav David wanted to apply that over here. He says, even if there's data being recorded, but you don't hear anything, you don't see anything happening, he says, that's not part of what the Torah asur on Shabbos. There's a story that was said at the Levaya, but I found a similar point also in Rav Frankel's questions that he asked. There was a woman who was a Baal Tshuva and wasn't well, and she was married and was not able to have children. And she came to Rav David, you know, struggling with this. What should I do? He says, the woman said, maybe because I became a Baal Tshuva, my mother's upset at me. You think that could be the reason? So Rav David shuts and he says, no. The Maisa, you did the Ratzon Hashem, right thing. That can't be it. She says, I have an older sister who never got married. And perhaps she's jealous of the fact that I'm married. You think that could be the problem? So that Rav David said yes. And he told her that the sister should declare in front of the Beis Din that she's mochel her, that she doesn't have any tainus on her, and everything should be good. There was a similar story said over by one of the grandchildren at the Levaya, where also a woman after getting married had trouble conceiving, and dated back when she was engaged, she had a younger brother who was sick, and the father had a shaila of whether or not they should push off the wedding, and he went to Rav David, and Rav David said, ask the girl and do what she says. The girl said she was ready to get married. So years later, when his daughter still didn't have any children, the father went to Rav David, questioned, what should she do? Rav David strongly turned to him. He's like, it's your fault. You didn't forgive her. You didn't forgive her. What do you mean? I let her get married. I listened to what the yeshiva said. Say Bepelma, go to Beis Din, convene the Beis Din, and had the father say Bepelma that he has no tainus on her, and that solved the problem. Rav David's Havana really the grandson touched it back to the Rabbeinu Bachaya in Parshas Vayigash. But the Havana of what it means, Ben Amal Chaver, hurting somebody and the ramifications it could potentially be and the means to resolve it, speaking it out in front of a Beis Din, that was part of David's clarity in Halacha. I saw, here you have a sefer which Yeshiva was publishing, 50th anniversary of the Kollel, and there are pieces in here. Some people have can trace him, pages and pages and pages and pages of Kedushei Torah. Well, the Rosh Yeshiva of David has one small piece. That's it. One small piece. And even the topic he picked. What's the topic? Well, what happens if someone didn't make Havdalah Motzi Shabbos? Halachically, we know you could do it through Tuesday. But Tuesday was Yontif. So now what does he do? Doesn't exactly come up every day. Such a shayla. That's the one shayla that David decided to write about. If you go through the piece, it was small. It maybe was not as practical as other things he could have written about, but it's absolute godless. There's a Chafetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha leaves it Tzarech Iyun Gadol, whether one should recite L'Havdol Bin Kodesh L'Chol or L'Havdol Bin Kodesh L'Kodesh. So Chafetz Chaim is not sure what to do. So David Weinstein says, Mustama, someone asked him the question, and he felt he was able to paskin the Shailam. And he had a beautiful lumdis of setting up a Machlokas Rishonim. When you make up Havdalah, if you didn't do it on Motzei Shabbos, when you do it on Sunday, you do it on a Monday, is that viewed as a tashlumim, as a makeup for what happened back then? Or is it viewed as the chiyuv didn't finish? Is the chiyuv still there? If it's a makeup, Reb David says, you can tie up, then you can make a bracha, l'havdol bin kodesh l'chol, because I'm making up for back then. But if it's mamshech, then you do kodesh l'kodesh. Beautiful piece he has in there. That's what Reb David decided to speak about. I saw in the Sefer Masoras Moshe brings down on the earliest edition, Agudah publishes, this Kovetz Amah Torah, where they're talking about the halakhas of respect for Svarim. So you know the concept, the Chumash is normally something that goes on top. Torah Shebaal Peh, or Moshe Paskin, that basically Rishonim Achronim all could be in the same piles. There's no Kedima. And what about a Navi? Where does a Navi fit in? Chumash is on top of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh themselves are all together. What about Navi? So Rav Moshe, in this discussion, quotes his son Rav David. The Lashni said, this is actually to someone from my Zaydi's, Rabbi Neumann's Chabura, Rav Gershon Lopian, from the famous Lopian family. He was a Rav, if I remember, from England. Came in and joined the Chabura. I think and I've even stayed by the Neumann house. But Rav David wanted to paskin that really you should have a Navi on top of a Chumash. Because since a Chumash, be'etzem, Chumash is a Sefer Torah. The whole concept of writing over her, Eis L'Asus Hashem, people need Chumashim too. As opposed to a Navi, be'etzem as Kedusha, because you can learn from a Navi. So Memela, there's greater level of Kedusha and a Navi over a Chumash. Rav Moshe thought it was such a brilliant chap. He was aghast, you know, that no one ever does that. So Rav Moshe was saying, it's not, since no one does it, you know, not the minhag, you know, maybe if you have a Chumash and a Navi, you should have them side by side. But really, Me'ikar Adin, he says, my son is right, Rav David's right. The Navi should be on top of the Chumash. Who has that clarity? Hold on. And one last story in this segment. I saw this written up in one of the newspapers. A firm person in business and basically someone owed them a lot of money, and they transferred the ownership of a company to this debtor. The company was one that tested medicines, tested drugs. This firm person didn't want his business to be open on Shabbos. So speak to Rav David about it. Rav David not only gave him, as we see soon, etzas of what to do, Rav David actually told him he thinks the business should be open on Shabbos. Rav David was very machmer with businesses on Shabbos. But this business, he says, should be open on Shabbos. Why? He says, it's an issue of bikuach nefesh. If your laboratory is testing drugs, that means if they only are open 6 days a week, it will take that much longer for a drug to be approved and to help heal people. So thus, it even being open on Shabbos is potentially an issue of bikuach nefesh. And one would be allowed, providing different things in halacha, is a tzarech for that. You know, it's fascinating. We're in this stage in America where the news stories every other day is about drugs being tested. And you have people that are, you know, pushing things off a little bit. Look at the lens of Reb David Feinstein in halacha. Not to push something off a day. A day of Shabbos is so integral, potentially saving lives. That's the area of clarity in halacha. In terms of Eitzah, second area I'd like to talk about. This area, I spoke to Chashav Rosh Hashiva, who had a lot of dealings with Reb David over the years, and he touched up that besides Reb David being a tremendous posek and halacha, but he was such a smart Baal Eitzah. After he told you the black and white halacha, he could help you figure out a way which is halachically permittable to work out your situation. Tremendous, tremendous Baal Eitzah. And this was something that solved so many people's problems. There's a story brought in this Mesoras Moshe on the bottom of the sheets, where Moshe was in the hospital and grandchildren were coming there for Shabbos. So in those days, didn't have much Bikur Cholim. And okay, the grandson was going to bring some foldable in the tshuva, in the Lashon, it calls it an army cot to sleep in. And basically the grandson, a few of the grandchildren, and Ramosha, were hawking there, Ramosha was in the hospital bed, hawking there on whether one could open that on Shabbos or not. Is there some issue of bona, building, a deraisa, derabbanon? And, okay, you could add to the fact that Moshe was in the hospital when it wasn't well, but Moshe ended up not being sure about what to do. So firstly, the advice was, should we ask Rav David? And then Moshe said, yes. You know, Moshe wasn't sure what to do. The posuk he called, he said, this is Rav David. But not only did Rav David deal with this situation, he just avoided it all. He came with a great etzah, which they were hawking and hawking, Chushim ben Nun, hawking and hawking, and they didn't figure it out. He said, why don't you just open it up before Shabbos and store it, like, underneath something? It's out of the way. Simple and brilliant. Solved the whole problem. That's a Baal Eitzah. I know myself in yeshiva, there's an inyan, I gave a share about this, that when you name someone after a relative, the schos of naming after that relative is if you give the exact name that that person had. So, comes an issue, is there any room for a shinoi which wouldn't affect the name? So, Younger Light in the yeshiva back in the day, they all called Reb David Feinstein because Reb David had a list of names which he felt you could add that name to a child and that's not considered a hosafa. It's just an added name, but it doesn't take away from naming after the person. Remember, there's a shmua going around. I was the guy in yeshiva. I named many people with those names in yeshiva. But I remember one time, I myself had the Shaila. I was in Muncie for Shabbos. And it happened to be, I remember that Shabbos, Reb David Feinstein happened to be in Muncie. Same little shul, small shul, 50 people. Reb David was there, maybe sat in the front of Shabbos morning. I'm leaving to go to Mincha a little early before Mincha, Shabbos afternoon. And lo and behold, I'm walking down the street, and there's Reb David Feinstein. When do you ever have Reb David all to yourself? Simply. So I guess in the MTJ in the summer too. But I escorted Reb David to Mincha. I was close of asking him my shaylos about the name. And my daughter, Tova Bela, always says she's very thankful for Reb David figuring out how to do names. It's amazing. But that was a Baal Eitzah helping people out. I'll end with one story in this area, because I want to get to the next one. But quite an interesting story. The Lower East Side was a very high-mish neighborhood, right? Many people live, most everyone lives in apartment buildings. Some people have cars, some people don't. A lot of people, there's shopping right there in Manhattan. Manhattan in general is not an easy place to have a car or to drive anywhere. People use public transportation. So the people who had cars were, always helped out. People didn't. So there's a cold person in the community, had a nice car, actually a Suburban. So, right, most of the shop is after the schmooze or other times, right? They'll take everyone in the neighborhood who needs a ride. Anyway, so that's just the backdrop to the story. So one of the coal wives was doing errands, streets of Lower East Side. She went to a store. Fortunately, it wasn't open. Okay? She walked to the store. This lady was 8 months pregnant. Obviously, walking down the street is not an easy thing to do. And she was exhausted. But it was a decent walk from where she was back to her house. But she was only one block away from MTJ, and she saw on her watch it was close to the time her husband was finishing up yeshiva. So she figured she'd go to yeshiva, wait for her husband, and get a ride home with him. She goes, shows up at the yeshiva. Right when she walks by the door, she sees her husband in the big Suburban with Reb David Feinstein in the front seat, Reb Michal Birnbaum's at Sal the Mashkiach in the second seat, every other seat filled with Bachrim and Yunga Light from the yeshiva. And she has this look of horror in her face. Oh no. And every person in the car has that same look. Oh no. There's no room for this lady in the car. And as it is, it's a little awkward. It's the issue is where exactly is she going to go? So her husband rolls down the window. So sorry, I'm going to quickly run, drop everybody off. And then I'll come back and pick you up. Rev David Feinstein sitting in the front seat, without skipping a beat, leans over and says, "Do you know, are you up to driving?" She said, I saw the first person account, the woman says, it took her a few seconds to chop Rev David's chop idea. Rev David realized if she could drive, it'll solve all the problems. So he said, yes. Her husband scooted down to the middle of the bench. Reb David moved closer to the window. Her husband scooted down the middle bench. And this 8-month pregnant lady got into the driver's seat and they all made it home. Osai, it pays to be it. No one else knew what to do in that situation, but a Goyin, a Baal Eitzah, and as we'll soon see, a tremendous Baal Chesed figured it all out. In terms of Chesed on Reb David, of Ganzweig, who knew Reb David for so many years, working side by side, very much involved in the Smicha program, the Mashkiach of the Yeshiva, Ganzweig talked about a line that people think to be a Baal Chesed, anyone could be a Baal Chesed. But he says, the greater you are in Torah, the greater ga'onus you have, the greater Baal Chesed you could be. And Reb David Feinstein was someone that used every bit of his Torah knowledge, of his tremendous pichus, his brilliance, not just to learn Hashem's Torah and to paskin and salachas and give advice to people, but to literally, with his own hands and whatever ability Hashem gave him, to do chesed. in general, really, Rav David was a big fan of Gedolim books. He spoke about this a lot by his father, Rav Moshe. You're going to talk about the learning. You're going to talk about the learning. You know, it's beautiful, but in a certain sense, the chesed touches more people and could connect the people. And Rav Ganzweig himself in the Hesped said, really people should be asking more shailas in the realm of chesed than people ask. Chesed, what to do, which tzedakah to give, which ani to help, should I help in this situation? And you see that Rav David was someone who lived chesed, who had shailas about chesed, who understood chesed. One simple halacha, which is probably not so simple, it was known, it was a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that a person, A, should support a Jewish business. But on top of that, there's an inyan to support your local Jewish businesses. The Lower East Side had some supermarkets. Everything in the Lower East Side is more low-key than other parts of New York, let's just say. It's not as big, it doesn't have as many varieties of Heinz ketchup or whatever else as you'll find in the superstores in New York, probably a little more expensive too. Rav David nevertheless would shop. Oh yeah, Rav David himself. Anyone who's seen the videos knows the Rav David Feinstein would shop himself L'Kavod Shabbos. When he taught the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Mem Aleph, he lived that Gemara, and he would shop first, weekly thing, for years in the Lower East Side. And items that they were not able to get in the Lower East Side, they would travel to Brooklyn to get. So he spent a significant amount of time, especially when you measure every minute of a Gadol's time, he spent a significant amount of time shopping. But not just shopping. Shopping in a way which is supporting Jewish business, supporting even local Jewish business. There's a story, I would not believe it, if not for the fact I trust the person who said it over. There's a bakery in the Lower East Side, Gertel's Bakery. In its heyday, the lines are around the block. One day, Rav David, wasn't just one day, on Purim Day, Rav David was passing by the store, and he happened to see that the owner was off for a tumult. It seems, unfortunately, a parent was nifter, and he had to go set up a levaya, and he was about to close the store. Rav David spoke to him and said to him, you know, here's the Baal Eitzah in halacha. Granted, the halacha is, in Avelos, a person is not allowed to work, but his store is a service for the community. The community needs kosher bread. Rav David gave him just a simple Eitzah. He could sell the partnerships in the building, sell it to somebody, and this way, your bakery will still be able to function. People get their bread. So the person said, okay, fine. He said, but right now I have to take care of the levaya. I can't set anything else up. I have to go. David's like, hey, but what's going to be? All the people on Purim are going to go to buy challahs for their sudas. The bakery abruptly is shut. Rav David himself manned the store on Purim Day for a few hours till other arrangements were able to be made to set it up. But he was in charge of the store to keep the bakery in the Lower East Side open so people could have challahs on Purim. That's a great trivia question. Where would one find the Gadol Hadar on Purim Day? He was running a bakery in the Lower East Side because that's what David Feinstein felt Hilchus Chesed dictated. Hilchus Talmud Torah dictated. Now's the time for me to sit and run the store in the Lower East Side. I saw a question Frankel asked. How much do you have to fill up a cup? What's considered filled up to make Kiddush on a cup? It reminds me of a story. I was once in upstate New York for country for Shabbos. I see someone's making Kiddush. Shemirachim, I still remember seeing the guys making Kiddush. And some other guy at the Kiddush a little random, you know, bungalow kiddush, decided the person's cup wasn't filled enough. So he took the bottle of grape juice or wine and started pouring it as the person was making kiddush. I just remembered the tempers flaring. And like, the first halacha always is, in everything, is you have to be a mensch. That's the first halacha. Rav David lived by that. When he answered a person's question, how much filled does it have to be? He says, ideally it should be filled. But you know, b'di'evid, it doesn't have to be exactly filled. And he said, probably most of the time, many times, it won't be exactly filled because there's so many other such bottles. You don't want to spill on the person's carpet. As I zucked. People have to keep all these things under cheshbon. That was part of Reb David issued a psak. It wasn't just a psak in halacha, hilchas kiddush cup. It was also hilchas chesed. What's going to be with the other person? There are unbelievable stories of, you know, this fits with that picture we talked about before, that Rav David had a crowd by him on Erev Yom Kippur. Rav David would sponsor a kibud for people on Erev Yom Kippur, and the reason was, again, clarity in halacha on top of it, chesed, that if it was a minhag really stemming from Rav Moshe, that if someone was had a gzar din that he should accept tzedakah this year, accept something for someone else, this Reb David should be the one giving him the handout of a piece of cake in Erev Yom Kippur. And people would come to Reb David, this is a minhag, you want to save yourself from getting tzedakah, go to Reb David, he'll give you the tzedakah on Erev Yom Kippur. Chesed, whatever he could do. The famous story is about the soda machine. It's going around. I looked into the details. This friend of mine, Talmud there, he remembers he came to the yeshiva in 1996. 1996 was already 10 years, over 10 years, since Rav Moshe was nifter. The Rosh Yeshiva, Rav David, was the one responsible for filling the soda cans in the soda machine. 1996, as Rosh Yeshiva, do the math, David was nifter at 91. Not a young man, he was filling the soda machine. Chesed, Talmidim need a drink. Not only that, in MTJ, Adayom, they were makbid, soda should only be 50 cents. This way a Talmud, you know, wants a good drink and always got one. Do you know how many more cans of soda you sell when it's 50 cents? Rav David spent a lot of time filling the soda machine. So this Talmud's friend of mine told me, he doesn't remember exactly when, but somewhere between 97 and 99, everyone realizes, Pachisas HaKavod, for Rav David to be doing such a thing, and they convinced him that he shouldn't do it. Okay? So Rav David stopped 20 years ago. But not really. This Chashav HaTamachacha from Lakewood came to ask Shilas to Rav David just a few years ago, putting out a sefer. Came in the summer. Rav David gave him all the time in the world. He was the only one in the base manager with him. Spent hours with him answering the Shilas. At one point, Rav David says, do you mind if you follow me? Rav David goes into the little hallway of MTJ, takes out his wad of keys. One of his keys goes, opens a soda machine, and starts filling it with sodas. You can imagine what this guy from Lakewood is looking. He's never seen anything like this in his life. What? A Rosh Yeshiva? When the Gedolei Hador, up there in his 80s, is filling a soda machine. He was aghast. He probably didn't think it was within his kavod to fill a soda machine, let alone the Rosh Yeshiva post the Gedolei Hador. Rav David, he didn't know what to do. Stumbling over Yeshiva. Isn't this not covered a Torah? Rav David says, what's the matter? Why not? The money supports the Yeshiva. Why can't I do it? And would not let him touch. By then he realized maybe he should help too. But by then, You would not let him touch a can of soda. No, this is my mitzvah. My chesed I do for the people that come in, I put in the cans of soda. Amazing, amazing chesed. At the Levaya of Ganzweig, said a line that, before that, let me go back one step. It was also said by Levaya. Rav David did chesed with himself, taking over a bakery, doing chesed, filling soda machines. But he also did chesed with his money. A story that was said by the Levaya was how Art Scroll was in dire straits, and just then they had the idea of publishing a shas. They had no money. David was very close with Meir Zlotowitz, Talmud of Ramosha, extremely, extremely close. And unsolicited, Reb David gave them, this is going back 30 years ago, a gift of $25,000. Right? It would have been chizuk had the Rosh Hashiva given a gift of $100. Here they get from the great Gadol of Dov Feinstein is mishtateth in Art Scroll. No. He gave them $25,000 30 years ago. There are other stories. Talmud Chacham in the Lower East Side financially didn't have much. Every time he married off a child, Reb David gave him $15,000. There was a person involved in business who, let's just say, was perhaps careless with his money, made what people might call stupid investments, and lost tons and tons of money. His family was in debt, struggling. Reb David put in certain guidelines and safety features, but was able to raise for that person $100,000. People think, I'll do chesed to someone who's, straight. And what about people that make mistakes and the family suffering? If David understood Hilchos Chesed, Hilchos Halva applies here too. You have to put in the safeguards. This is something to do. Amazing, amazing chesed. At the Levaya, where Rav Ganzweig was talking about, there's so much chesed, many people didn't even realize it. I'll tell you, I didn't realize it. I remember I was with a certain very chash of a Rav. I remember him remarking, Rav David is so nice to me. Rav David is so nice to me. This person did a job, I'll keep it vague. And he was part of the payroll, MTJ. This person somewhat questioned, like, wow, it's so nice, Rebbe still keeps me on the payroll. I remember hearing it from the person multiple times. It took me over a decade, but by that Levaya, it clicked. Oh, this person, who was a huge chash of a Talmud Chacham, was part of Reb David's recipients of Chesed. Chasdei David HaNemanim. Reb David figured out a way of how to do Chesed with people, how to help people, what people needed. He might have been a man of a few words, but he understood so well the lives of other people, the needs of other people, and did everything in his power to help them out. I'll end with three amazing stories. This story was told to me on Erev Shabbos, a few minutes before Lech Benching in New York, by this friend of mine, part of Reb David's inner circle. It was not really made public, it was not in any of the magazines or newspapers, but I'll tell you the story, it's pretty amazing. Reb David, or with David Meyerov in Yeshiva, following Meyerov in Yeshiva, would go home, but usually people would come and hock him. Questions, Shalom Aleichem. Definitely would have happened. Story happened 2 years ago. With David Meyerov in Yeshiva, And Raif Demeyer, Rav David, rushes out, which is very uncommon. He didn't rush out, but here he mamish rushed out right after Meir. But there's one Kola guy who didn't let it stop there. So Rav David, he dashed out after Rav David. Stopped Rav David to tell him over a vart, nice piece of Torah that he just came across. David sat there for a few moments, listening to the person's vart, fully giving him all his attention. Person finished saying his vart, then Rav David ran out. Okay? The next day in Yeshiva, this younger man went over to one of the David's gabbas. He's like, what's Pshat Rav David last night? Your mom, she ran out, you know, right after Maariv. He looks at him and says, David wasn't feeling well. He had chest pains. He felt he didn't know he was going to. He spoke to his doctor. His doctor said he should come over right away. Rav David was on the way out with chest pains, about to go to his doctor. Rav David Feinstein is somebody who passed in shayles of pikuach nefesh on a daily basis, time and time and day. He knew what pikuach nefesh means. He knew what suffered pikuach nefesh means. He knew the exact line. When this person came to tell him a dvar Torah, Rav David felt, Ein al chanami, I myself have to go to the doctor, but this person wants to tell me his dvar Torah. He had the calmness and the chesed to let the person tell him the dvar Torah, and then he went. Rav David wasn't playing with his life. Rav David was caring for others, even when his life, even when, unfortunately, he wasn't feeling well. There's a story that came out just in the past few months. A song. There was a song made by a Talmud of Rav David, Eliezer Chait. I think it might have been a neighbor back on Avenue H. And basically, Rav David told him there used to be a minhag in Klal Yisrael that the brothers of the Kala would come before the chuppah together with the father, the grandfathers, and give a bracha to the Kala. Rav David said somehow that minhag fell by the wayside. Rav David said, you know, why don't you make a song about it? And maybe this way I'll come back. So Rav David told it to him years ago. It seems over the pandemic, like many people, they clear their attic. This person had the song. He wrote the song. He gave it over to Eitan Katz and Baruch Levine. And they have a beautiful duet singing the song, Ach Oseinu, which are the words from a medrash from this past week's parsha. How Lavan gave a beautiful bracha to his sister Rivka as she went to the chuppah with her husband Yitzchak. Imagine, on the mind of the Gadol Hador was this minhag to give brachas. It's such a nice minhag. How are we going to get that back in Klal Yisrael? I have Talmud, it's a little musical. Maybe if we make a song, maybe this will revive and bring back this beautiful minhag. But what did Rav David care most for? For that young Jewish girl getting married to get an extra bracha from her brother. She's getting brachas! Fathers, grandfathers. But what about the brother's bracha? Do you appreciate what it means, a bracha? Lavan appreciated it. Rav David Feinstein understood this is something that people need. And finally, I'll end with a personal story. Remember, spoke to my parents last night about this. Seems I was zochah when I was younger. I'll come to my father to the store. This one time I was a kid playing with little action figures, and Rav David gave me a bracha. That I don't even remember. But this I do remember. One of my friends went to Eretz Yisrael for his sister's bas mitzvah. The family went. Before they went and got brachas from Rav David Feinstein. So my mother heard about this. So she told my father, you know, you see Reb David all the time. Why don't you go get a bracha for Yaakov from Reb David? I was about 8 years old. It's the middle of the 80s, New York City. And I was with my father in the store. And Reb David was there. My father asked for a bracha. I remember Reb David turning to me and asking me, as an 8-year-old little kid, do you like to learn? Do you like learning Torah? Don't know what got into me, but I guess I answered honestly at that age. I said, no, not really. Reb David laughed. He said, do you like baseball? Reb David was a smart man. Reb David grew up in America. He knew what America's pastime was. It was the 80s in New York. Mets fever was everywhere. I said, sure, yeah, I love baseball. So Reb David gave me the most beautiful bracha. He said, if you're a bracha, they should enjoy learning Torah even more than you enjoy baseball. That was the bracha he gave me. Chazdei Hashem, got to learn yeshiva for many years. I guess I'm still learning yeshiva. And it's a big bracha. Harivna Hashem Alkenos Divrei Sarasko Befinu. I had a couple times over the past 15 years, probably about 10 years ago, something like that, 15 years ago, I saw Reb David by a chasna. By then I was already a Rebbe, a Magid Chair. And I reminded Reb David of my story. I told him about the bracha. He's like, so it helped? I guess. I just saw Reb David a year ago. I decided to remind him again of the story. I told it over to him again. He sure remembered. He sure had such a smile on his face when I told him that story. And that's what Reb David cared about. He cared about people learning Torah. His Havana in Torah helped so many people. His Eitzos, his advice, helped people navigate business or a pregnant lady navigate the streets of New York. His chesed was something for the ages, whether it's filling soda machines, running bakeries on Purim Day, giving loans to people he never thought needed it, listening to people, caring for people, and giving brachas to people. And David Feinstein, it's a great gadol that would not be forgotten. Thank everyone for listening. Wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful week, and shalom bizocha to continue to learn and be protected by the schosim of anashim chashuvim, anashim gadol, like Rav David Feinstein.